content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, friends. This is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you an article from Kiplinger Personal Finance. 11 ways to grow your wealth. Whether you're taking the first steps to increase your wealth or protecting the assets you've accumulated, our advice will help you flourish. Investing. Think big. Start small. The best way to turn $100 or $1,000 into, well, more, is to invest it. But too often, people fall into a trap of thinking that you need to have a lot of money to invest. Not true. It's okay to start small, but you must be methodical about it. Fortunately, it's getting easier to do that. Begin by following the steps below. Start with no money down. Most brokers, including Charles Schwab, Fidelity, E-Trade, and Merrill Lynch, have stopped requiring a minimum to open a brokerage account. It takes just minutes to open an account online. Pay what you can. Set up an automatic transfer to your account, even if it's $10 every paycheck or once a month, if that's all you can afford, and invest it. Can't swing $700 plus for a share of NVIDIA stock? Thanks to fractional trading, you can buy a portion of a share. Although not every firm offers fractional share trading, you can buy fractional shares of stock and exchange-traded funds, too, in some cases. At Fidelity, Interactive Brokers, Robinhood, Schwab, SoFi, and M1 Finance, to name a few. The minimum amount required for each trade and the number of stocks and or ETFs available for fractional trades may vary by firm. At M1 Finance and Robinhood, you can buy fractions of ETFs and stocks for as little as $1. At SoFi, it's $5. At Schwab, the minimum trade is $5, but only S&P stocks. No EFTs are available. Fidelity and Interactive Brokers allow fractional trading for any U.S.-listed stock or ETF for as little as $1. And automate investing. At Fidelity and Interactive Brokers, you can set up a recurring investment in a stock or an ETF. Fidelity allows this for mutual funds, too. The process is much like your 401k contribution, and it can take your wealth-growing ability to a whole new level. It's a great way for people to build a portfolio in a disciplined way, says Rob Garfield of Interactive Brokers. And keep an eye on investment cost. Wealthy people are often among the most frugal, and they apply that cost consciousness to their investments too. The difference between what you earn in an expensive fund, for example, compared with an inexpensive one, can mount to six figures over an investing lifetime. Of course, you'll pay more in fees for an actively managed fund than for an index tracker and for asset classes that require a higher level of research or trading skills. Small company stocks or emerging market shares, for example, compared with large, easily traded blue chips. But when comparing funds in the same category, a lower expense ratio can make a world of difference. The average expense ratio for stock mutual funds at last report was 1.12% and 0.54% for stock index funds, according to the Investment Company Institute. For actively managed exchange-traded stock funds, expenses average 0.68% for index-based stock, ETFs 0.46%. Say you put $10,000 into Fund A with an annual expense ratio of 1.5% or $150 on a $10,000 investment. If your fund returned an annualized 10%, roughly the long-term return for large company stocks over a 40-year period, you'd have paid $46,884 in fees, and you'd have a total of $247,261, according to calculations from Bankrate. Fund B is similar, with identical returns but expenses of just 0.5%. After 40 years, you've paid just $20,974, and you walk away with $370,365, a difference of $123,104. Sales charges, too, can pinch fund investors, but these days you can find plenty of so-called load funds offered without a sales charge at popular investing platforms, so it pays to check before you buy. And be a super saver. While the secrets of super savers would be a catchy name for a reality TV show, there's really no mystery to developing good saving habits. Ideally, you need to monitor your spending. Start setting aside savings early. Put your savings on autopilot and take advantage of all the tax breaks and other incentives available to you. In a 2022 survey of investors' savings habits, Principal Financial Group identified super savers as those who set aside 15% or more of their salary in retirement accounts or make 90% of the maximum contribution allowed by the IRS. A common characteristic among the super savers is consistency. Most started saving in their teens or early 20s and consider it part of their identity. They drive older vehicles and own modest homes, which they fix up and clean themselves. In addition to contributing to 401k plans or other employer-sponsored accounts, they take advantage of other vehicles such as brokerage accounts, health savings accounts, and 529 college savings plans. They're continually looking for as many ways as possible that they can save, says Heather Winston, Director of Individual Investor Products and Solutions for Principal. When you're starting out, finding room in your budget to save for retirement can be a challenge. But recent research from the Investment Company Institute offers encouraging news about young adult savers. The ICI's analysis found that in 2022, members of Generation Z, typically defined as individuals born between 1997 and 2012, had 2.5 times more assets in retirement plans than Generation X households had when they were the same age. And Generation Xers were born between 1965 and 1980. Contributing to the trend is the rise in automatic enrollment, according to the ICI. More than 3/4 of large companies automatically enroll workers in their 401k plans. Workers who don't want to participate can opt out, but most don't. Starting in 2025, companies with new 401k plans will be required to automatically enroll workers at a minimum contribution rate of 3% and increase participation by 1 percentage point each year up to 15%. However, if you want to be a super saver, you should put aside even more than the default contribution embedded in your employer's plan. Your employer-provided plan isn't the only implement in your retirement toolkit. More than half of Principal's super savers also contributed to a Roth IRA, which provides tax-free income in retirement. In 2024, you can make the maximum contribution of $7,000 to a Roth $8,000 if you're 50 or older. If your modified adjusted income, gross income, which is your adjusted gross income with certain deductions added back, is less than $146,000 if you're single, or $230,000 if you're married and file jointly. If all of this sounds like a bridge too far, don't overlook savings incentives offered by Uncle Sam. The Retirement Savings Contributions Credit, better known as the Savers Credit, is designed to encourage people with low and middle incomes to begin building retirement nest eggs. Eligible taxpayers can claim a tax credit of up to $1,000 for single filers or $2,000 for married couples who file jointly. The credit is based on 10%, 20%, or 50% of the first $2,000, $4,000 for joint filers, contributed to retirement accounts, including 401ks, traditional IRAs, and Roth IRAs. If you qualify, the lower your income, the higher the percentage of retirement plan contributions you'll get back on your tax return. For the 2024 tax year, single filers and married people filing separate returns with adjusted gross income of $38,250 or less may be eligible for the credit. Married couples filing jointly must have an adjusted gross income of $76,500 or less, while head of household filers must have an AGI of $57,375 or less. And fund your bad news account. Even the best laid plans for a secure retirement can be derailed by unemployment, a serious health condition, or a natural disaster. To avoid tapping the money you've saved for retirement, you should have an emergency savings account that covers 3 to 6 months worth of expenses. If you're the sole wage earner in your household or work in an industry prone to disruption from economic swings such as travel and hospitality, you may need to set aside up to 12 months worth of expenses. The money should be invested in an easily accessible savings account or money market deposit account, because this is the money you can't afford to risk losing. Recently, you could earn up to 5% on top-yielding savings accounts, although those rates could decline if the Federal Reserve starts cutting rates this year. And cut your tax bill. Taxes, according to the late Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes, Jr., are what we pay for a civilized society. But that doesn't mean you should pay more than you're legally required to remit to federal and state tax authorities. Unfortunately, the tax code has become more complex, increasing the risk that you'll overlook money-saving tax breaks. Start by reviewing how much tax was withheld from your paychecks in 2023. If you received a big refund, adjust your withholding so that less of your paycheck goes to the IRS. Use the extra money to bulk up your emergency savings, pay off high interest debt, and or increase contributions to your retirement plans. The majority of taxpayers claim the standard deduction, but even if you don't itemize deductions, you may still be eligible for a long list of tax credits and above-the-line deductions. For example, if you have a child who will start college this fall, there's a good chance you'll be eligible for the American Opportunity Credit. This tax credit is available for up to $2,500 of college tuition and related expenses, but not room and board paid during the year. Meanwhile, reducing taxes on investments in your brokerage account is a surefire way to increase your profits or minimize losses. Start by understanding the difference between long and short-term capital gains. You'll pay long-term capital gains tax on income from the sale of assets that you have held for more than 1 year, at rates ranging from 0% to 20% depending on the amount of your taxable income. If you sell stocks, mutual funds, or other assets you purchased a year ago or less, the net proceeds will be taxed as ordinary income, with rates ranging from 10% to 37%. Clearly, you're better off selling investments you've owned for more than a year, particularly if you qualify for the 0% tax rate. In 2024, you're eligible for the 0% tax rate if you're single and have taxable income of up to $47,205, or up to $94,050 if you're married and file jointly. This tax break can be particularly valuable to retirees who may need to sell assets to meet expenses and are no longer earning income from a job. Where taxes and your wealth are concerned, you need to be thinking about how much you'll pay in the future too. Contributions to a 401k or deductible IRA will reduce your tax bill now, but the money will be taxed when you take withdrawals, possibly at a higher tax rate than you're paying today. For that reason, many financial planners recommend directing at least some of your contributions to a Roth 401k if your employer offers one. About 75% of large employers do. As is the case with Roth IRA contributions, they are after tax, but withdrawals will be tax-free after you're 59 and a half and have owned the Roth for at least 5 years. Unlike Roth IRAs, however, there is no income limits. Anyone with earned income can contribute to a Roth 401k. And pay off debts. If you have high interest rate debt, paying it off should be high on your priority list because it drags down on your ability to create wealth. Credit card debt is particularly burdensome because rates tend to run high and they're variable, moving upwards when the Federal Reserve boosts short-term rates. Average rates for currently held credit cards rose from 16.17% in March of 2022 to 24.59% in February of 2024. Start by reviewing your credit card statement to find out the amount you owe, how much you're paying in interest, and the minimum monthly payment amount. Then consider transferring your outstanding balance to a less costly account. Several card issuers are offering 0% interest rates on balance transfers for anywhere from 12 months to 21 months. There may be a transfer fee, which is typically 3 to 5% of the transfer amount, but during the 0% period, your balance won't accrue any interest, and those savings could easily outweigh the cost to transfer. Make a plan to pay off the balance during the 0% interest period. After it closes, the interest rate will jump up, usually to the credit card's standard rate. Balance transfer offers like these are usually limited to those with a FICO credit score of 670 or higher. For example, those with a strong credit score can get 0% interest for 21 months by transferring their balance to the U.S. Bank Visa Platinum card. If you don't qualify for a generous balance transfer offer, try asking for a better deal on your current card. More than 3/4 of cardholders who asked their issuer for a lower interest rate were successful, according to a 2023 LendingTree survey. The average reduction was about 6 percentage points. And manage student loans. Federal education loans have fixed rates, so changes in short-term interest rates won't affect current payments. But you can make moves to keep your loan payments manageable. If you haven't already considered setting up automatic payments from your bank account to the loan server, this helps to ensure that your payments arrive on time which contributes to a positive credit history and deflects late fees. It can also earn you some relief on interest. Most lenders will offer you a 0.25%, or in some cases a 0.5%, in interest rate reduction as an incentive to pay automatically, says Mark Kentrowitz, author of How to Appeal for More College Financial Aid. Meanwhile, federal student loan borrowers should take note that now that the federal student loan payment pause has ended and interest is accruing on loans again, you can claim the student loan interest deduction on your federal tax return. Depending on how much interest you pay, that deduction could save you a few hundred dollars or more in federal income taxes. Borrowers saddled with student debt can also reduce their monthly loan payment by switching to an extended or income-driven repayment plan. These plans base your monthly payment on income and family size. But with some plans, you may ultimately pay more in interest over the life of the loan because the repayment period will be longer. However, with the new income-driven plan, SAVE, S-A-V-E, which stands for Saving on a Variable Education, the balance does grow from accrued interest as long as you make your monthly payment in full each month. The balance doesn't grow as long as you make your payment in full each month. If the payment is not enough to cover the monthly interest on the loan, the government covers the rest of the interest that month. You can learn more about the SAVE repayment plan at studentaid.gov. And build a healthy credit history. A strong credit profile is an important tool as you build wealth. A high credit score can help you nab a lower interest rate on a mortgage and other loans, and it can even affect your auto insurance premium. Paying all of your bills on time is the most impactful move you can make to boost your credit score. To ensure that payments arrive by the date they're due, you can set up automatic transfers from your bank account. If you already have overdue bills, pay them off as soon as possible. Another key credit score component is your credit utilization ratio. That's the percentage of available credit that you use on your credit cards. Keeping the ratio below 30% can help increase your credit score and avoid applying for multiple credit cards at once. Every application results in a hard inquiry into your credit history, and multiple inquiries that appear on your credit report in a short time can negatively affect your score. Note that when you shop for the best rate on an auto loan or mortgage credit scoring company, FICO counts the multiple inquiries that may result within a 45-day period as a single inquiry, minimizing the impact on your credit score. And review your credit report for fraud and errors. Incorrect or fraudulent information that appears on your credit report could damage your credit score, so you should review your reports regularly at annualcreditreport.com. You can request free copies of your reports weekly from each of the major credit reporting companies, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. And check your credit reports for errors and signs of fraud, such as unfamiliar accounts that were opened in your name. If you find any problems, you can file a dispute with each company that is reporting the erroneous information by visiting their websites. You should also notify the company that provided the information in question, such as a credit card issuer that is reporting an account you never opened. After you file a dispute, the credit reporting company may contact the business that reported the incorrect information. If the business agrees it reported inaccurate information, it must notify the credit reporting company so they can fix your credit history. And consider a credit freeze. A credit freeze blocks lenders from reviewing your credit file in response to an application for new credit, which can keep criminals from opening loans or credit cards in your name. To place a freeze, you can create an online account with each of the major reporting companies. You can then lift the freeze as needed, say when a potential lender, landlord, or employer wants to perform a credit check. And buy a home or not, home ownership has long been a pillar of building wealth, particularly in recent years. Property appreciation over the past decade has provided most homeowners with more than $100,000 in equity, according to a 2023 analysis by the National Association of Realtors. The largest wealth gains occurred in high-cost metropolitan areas, the NAR said. In the San Jose metro area, for example, low-income earners accumulated nearly $630,000 in equity over the past 10 years, while middle-income earners gained $643,000 in equity. But those homeowners benefited from historical low mortgage rates and a sharp rise in home values. Today, rising mortgage rates and a low supply of available homes have made owning a home out of reach for many potential home buyers and raise questions about whether home ownership is still a reliable way to build wealth. Many financial planners say a home is still a good investment, offering advantages other assets lack. Making a monthly mortgage payment is a form of enforced saving while providing you and your family with a place to live. A fixed-rate mortgage is a hedge against inflation because an economic environment of rising interest rates will never cause your payments to go up, and payments could go down if you're able to refinance at a lower rate. And historically, home prices have risen in value, says David Haas, a certified financial planner in Franklin Lakes, New Jersey. Homes are expensive, but it would take a pretty deep recession to decrease prices in any significant ways, he says. And due to time constraints today, this article will be edited because we are now out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. Thank you for joining us, and until next time, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is also available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call, 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.